The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM and hits 103.9 FM, all here in Accra. In Kumasi, we are on Love 99.5 FM and on myjoyonline.com. We are also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via our various affiliates. We are live on X Spaces and on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams. Coming up, former Director General of Signals Bureau, Kwabena Edubuahene, has been accused of fraudulently transferring 49 million cedis from the agency's accounts into a private company that he co-owned with his wife. Meanwhile, the minority in parliament is accusing the attorney general of abusing his office in ordering raids and arrests of former government officials. We have details as a demand apology from the National Security Coordinator for the search conducted at the residence of the former Bank of Ghana governor. And we take you live to the Information Services Department for live updates on these headlines that we have just brought to you. I am Hannah Odami. Stay tuned.
And may I know, are you doing something unconstitutional regarding investigation and invading houses of former appointees?
Good morning. My name is Mawena with TV3. With respect to Mr. Edubuahene, you mentioned accounts belonging to him and other companies. We want to find out if there's been officially applied for freezing orders to those banks to ensure that the coffers are not emptied, even though you've served a warning. And secondly, the Deputy Attorney General has mentioned, amongst many other things, that some members of Parliament are seeking to abuse immunity offered them while making defamatory comments in the precinct of Parliament, and suggested there was going to be a cure of some form for it. What is that cure, if we may ask?
All right, thank you very much. So the Attorney General will proceed to answer these set of questions, after which we'll come back for a final round.
Yeah, thank you very much. On the first issue of whether I am under pressure to go to court, you would understand that the issue of accountability and oral, that is Operation Recover All Loot, was a central plank of His Excellency's campaign. In fact, the National Democratic Congress campaigned seriously on the issue of accountability. Ghanaians bought into that campaign and other issues that we addressed during the campaign, and that is why they voted for us to hold those who have abused public office accountable. So yes, I'm under pressure, but I'm under pressure not from political quarters, but from ordinary Ghanaians. Despite my busy schedule, I find time to go to social media and I see what Ghanaians want us to do. They are in a hurry to know what we are doing about holding people who have looted state resources accountable. Yes, sometimes you may have some of your colleagues saying that things are not going as quickly as we wanted. But I have said that I will not rush to court on any matter. I will not. And the president knows that and he accepts that. So yes, the pressure is coming, but you see, it was under that pressure that together with EOCO, we investigated Edubuahene. You see how diligent the work has been. You see the evidence we have laid out, okay? If you're under pressure, you go to court, and then you now come back to look for evidence, like some other attorney general did in the past, and subsequently was calling witness help him, you know, make out his case, all right? So I won't do that. If I don't have the kind of evidence that I have on Edubuahene, I will not go to court. So yes, the pressure is there, but I'm soaking in the pressure together with my Deputy Attorney General and some of the staff. We are soaking in the pressure. Now, with respect to the bail conditions, yes, we gave them bail conditions. I think all in all, it's about 160 million. Yes, about 160 million. Ghana cedis bail with sureties to be justified. So they brought some properties belonging to some of their friends and family. We are verifying the titles of those properties and to see if, you know, we will accept them in order to grant the bail. Now, with respect to Dubuahi, I got a briefing last night, and I'm thinking that he should continue to stay in detention. If we are granting the wife and the other suspects bail, he should continue to stay in detention because of what has come to my knowledge. So I have advised EOCO to vary the bail terms or release him and rearrest him. And then we will now go to court in order to meet the 48-hour constitutional threshold, maybe likely today. On the raids, on so-called raids, you see, the MPP is a unique group of individuals. In 2017, they were arresting, that's what they said. They were arresting former appointees. Okay? So I told you here that policemen came to my house with guns. If that is not... Okay. Sorry, the bail amount is 260 million, not 160. So he just, DAG just came to correct me on that. It's 260 million. So they came to my house in July of 2017 with guns. I didn't call a press conference to say that this was a raid. They showed me a warrant that they were conducting investigations into a transaction in respect of which I had written a legal opinion. That is the Ameri deal. And they came to my house, okay, with guns. Can you go back to the internet to check if I said that this was a raid on my house? So how come that a search of the governor's house, based upon credible intelligence that we received, and I was who applied for the warrants and got them issued by the High Court for the searches to be conducted, why is that a raid? Are some people now above the law that we cannot conduct a legally sanctioned, search, constitutionally sanctioned test, a search in their houses? Maybe they are above the law. Okay, but no one is above the law in this country. We are all subject. Your house should not be searched. So we obtain warrants. And if the media wants, I can make those warrants available. Okay, so there was no raid on his house. And there was nothing illegal or unconstitutional about what we did. But they are deciding to bastardize me and to bastardize the operatives of the national security by even saying that during the raid, which for me wasn't a raid, it was a constitutionally sanctioned search, they stole 10,000 Ghana cedis. All right? Now, what an insult. Okay? And that is what my Deputy Attorney General was referring to when he said that, you know, the constitutional immunity granted to MPs does not mean that they should abuse that immunity and then, you know, defame individuals or officials who are conducting normal public business, all right? And ladies and gentlemen of the media, let me tell you, we have a recording of Addison and what he said about the raid. So if Afeyomi Makin, the Honorable Minority Leader, is daring me, we'll make that recording available. So he should desist from maligning law enforcement officers and myself for the work that we are doing. He should also take cognizance of the fact that I am the leader of the bar, and I will act in the best interest of the ethics of the profession. So I won't do anything unethical, and I have advised both EOCO and National Security about staying within the bounds of the law in conducting investigations. So he should not abuse his parliamentary immunity by libeling or defaming public officials who are conducting normal, legally sanctioned, public business. Now, with respect to freezing orders, we are notifying all the banks today. You see, the gentleman who asked about the freezing orders, note that because of the way this gentleman, the suspect, is very highly networked, if a letter had gone out before today to any bank, there would have been swift movement of money. And there would have been, other suspects would have been alerted to the fact that we are investigating. So yes, we obtained all the accounts. For purposes of our investigation, officially, and for purposes of prosecution, we will now obtain what we are taking
by writing to each of the banks to give us that for our prosecution. Is there any question that I have not answered?
All right, so if there are any more questions, this will give you opportunity. Please step forward. Five more, please.
Have you had breakfast yet?
Yes. In the interest of quality and accountability, you may have to sacrifice your breakfast and lunch as well.
Hello, good morning. My name is Michael Maubi. I report for Sena Radio Online. Honourable Minister, you mentioned that suspect Edubuahin and the wife acquired several properties. I want to know what steps are being taken to avoid the possibility of suspect and the wife disposing all those properties in order to disrupt evidence gathering. Thank you.
My name is Kwesi Kumsen, editor of Punch Africa. AJ, I would like to know if suspect Edubuahin, if your outfit is able to retrieve the money he has stolen. Prosecute him or incarcerate him?
Thank you very much. My name is Justice Sadoboy. I work for the Super News Agency. Yes.
Il y a un an, je vivais avec mes parents au Bénin, à Cotonou, et j'ai décidé de poursuivre mes études supérieures.
There's always been this issue about confidentiality concerning national security spending, and people have, asked for more transparency in national security spending. And in your investigation so far, have you been able to identify, some of the loopholes that these suspects may have exploited to, grab state money like that? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Mutala Idusa. I work with EIB Network, GH1 TV, and Star FM. Honorable Neo, in you answering one of the questions, you did indicate that, in fact, you touched on Dr. Ernest Addison's search. In the home were destroyed by the men who visited the house. Can you give us some clarity? Was that what actually happened? And number two, on Edubuahin, you did indicate that you have ordered that he be released and rearrested in the hope of getting him remanded. Is it certain that when he's taken to court, he'll be remanded as you want happen? Thank you.
You again.
So just briefly on his last question with respect to the search, there have been conversations in the media about the former BOG boss having backdoor CCTV footages, which has been the subject of quite a conversation. You've provided some details with respect to the alleged or purported raid. Can that be clarified as well with respect to what really transpired? And then you mentioned the former finance minister. At the last press briefing you held, you said you were going to
name is Anna Poku for Daily Searchlight. And you agree with me that white-collar crimes are very difficult proof, and sometimes it takes such a long time, very long haul. And sometimes the steam of the case gets, people just forget about them. You are aware that some cases are still pending over 5, 6, 7 years. What is the dispatch that you're going to apply to make sure that these people will face justice and justice will be done?
Okay, thank you very much. On the first one, regarding steps being taken to prevent the suspect and the wife from disposing of assets, one of them is the fact that we've detained them. We've seized their phones. They are not, you know, in communication with the outside world. This is the first time. There were some people who knew, and there were reports of the arrest. Very few people knew what the arrest was about. In fact, some people called me and thought it was in relation to the issue regarding the Emirates ladies. I mean, the country manager of Emirates. But that isn't it. So we are detaining them because we want to prevent a situation where they will tamper with evidence. But as I've said, apart from the other companies that we are, and other transactions that we are investigating, okay, we have substantial evidence to be able to prosecute, even with, I mean, the in respect of the BNC transactions. All right, so we will take all kinds of steps. Now, if we go to court, we'll ask for freezing orders, both for tangible and intangible property. I have already warned banks not to move any money in any account associated with any of the companies that they know, okay, are related or owned by Edubohe and his wife. So we will be, we will follow with official actions, again, seeking to ensure that we preserve the assets, for purposes of the prosecution. Now, the question with respect to whether if we recover, we will proceed to prosecute. Now, in the best of two worlds for any prosecutor is to be able to convict and jail, and then also to recover the proceeds of crime. That's the best scenario. We have a plea bargaining regime in this country. If suspect Edubohe and his wife and the other suspects that we are investigating indicate that they want to enter into plea bargains, return all the assets and the the houses and so on to the Republic, refund all the monies, okay, and then even the profits from the proceeds of crime to us, okay, two things can happen. One is we get him a reduced sentence, so he stays for a shorter period in jail than would have been, because he's looking at a maximum of 25 years in jail. He was born in 1981. All right? He's about 44 years old. The wife is 34. She was born in 82 or thereabout. So she's 34. So you can imagine doing 34 plus 25 if they get the maximum. Okay? So she will come out at an advanced age of 59. She'll be 59 by the time she comes out of jail. All right. So if they want to cut a deal and return all the proceeds, we are willing to let them go. All right. Go to jail for a reduced sentence, or for the best scenario for them is for them to walk and return all the proceeds. All right. So I'm open-minded when it comes to this issue. So if they want to do a plea bargain, they should make an offer through their lawyers. Immediately I file charges, they should make an offer through their lawyers, and I'll be willing to look at it, because that is the essence of the plea bargaining regime under the under 30 as amended. Now, the question of confidentiality and national security. You see, the reason why national security expenditures are kept confidential are many. But one is that if, for instance, you are conducting surveillance and you want to give somebody money, okay, to conduct surveillance on a Saturday, do you want to go to the bank and do a check in the name of national security and give it to the person that should go and then, you know, cash the check and, you know, conduct the surveillance? Also, if expenditures are overexposed, investigations will also be equally overexposed. All right, one of the other reasons why national security expenditures are done confidentially. So, for instance, I don't know whether you have ever seen the Parliamentary Committee on Interior or Finance or the Public Accounts Committee grilling national security publicly. Have you ever seen that? Because the tradition all over the world is that their expenses, you know, are done, you know, confidentially. All right? And if briefings are to be given to, let's say, the finance minister or the person in charge of treasury, they have to also be done, you know, confidentially. And so I support that. The few rogue elements like suspect Edu Buahin should not, breach national security protocols and laws by exposing their expenditures. So I will still maintain that all expenditures of national security, you know, should remain confidential. Now, regarding the CCTV cameras that were taken, the cameras were actually not taken. It was the hard drive of the CCTV. And every investigator knows that the hard drive is what stores, it is the memory, it is the brain box of the CCTV camera. The camera itself is just, a mechanism for transmitting images or getting the images. But when it obtains the images, they are then stored in the hard drive. And it was a hard drive that we took, or the national security, you know, operatives who went to his house took. That is standard. It's standard in any investigation. All right. So, for instance, if the intelligence we got was with respect to some items, you know, of significance in his house, all right, if there was a movement of those items, the only way by which we will get to know is by reviewing the memory of the CCTV system, and that is contained in the hard drive. So that is what we took. So those who are saying that we went and took CCTV cameras, you know, are mistaken, and they are being mischievous in whatever they are doing with that information. I think there was another question by the same person regarding rearrest. Okay, so the question was whether when we rearrest, am I sure that the court will remand him? Now, that is a burden on me when I make the application to the court to show quite clearly that he's a flight risk. Now, all of you and my fellow countrymen and women listening and watching to me, from all the details that I have given with respect to the plans that he made to escape surveillance, you know, if you want, such a person to be roaming on the streets, okay, whilst investigations are going on, then you run the risk of him escaping. And I told you that Mr. Samoa, the CEO of GIF, is playing hide and seek with us. I'm sure from Senegal, he'll go somewhere else. And usually what they do is that they'll go to a country where they know that we don't have an extradition treaty with. Okay, so I can't request that they be extradited, you know, to stand trial. But we are monitoring him. And I'm sure one day we'll get him. He will arrive in this country, either voluntarily or involuntarily. Now, OSP and then Honorable Ken Oforiatta, I have not yet had that conversation. with OSP. So when I have that conversation, I will give you the details. Then also, someone asked about backdoor CCTV issues. If you can clarify the question, I think I've forgotten exactly what it was about. Yeah, what, huh? Yes. About the fact that he had a CCTV, no, that from a technical standpoint, I cannot, you know, confirm that fact, all right? I haven't held any conversations with national security on that specific issue, and I'll not there, you know, I mean, answer a question on that. And then the last one was white collar crime and the burden proof, the burden of. Crime. Okay. Now, non-white collar crime is stealing a goat or cassava to feed your family. But those who wear ties, like myself, and then they sit in public office and steal money, that is white collar crime. And if you investigate very well, you will certainly, you know, come across the evidence that is needed to prove the guilt of the criminal beyond reasonable doubt. And I have no doubt in my mind that Raymond Acha and his team have done, under the direction of myself and DAG, the Deputy Attorney General, they've done a fantastic job. There are other white collar crimes that I will address you on in the next few weeks. Okay? Because as I've said, this country was turned into a crime scene for 8 years, and we are uncovering what crimes were committed. Now, I also want to take this opportunity to tell everyone in public office who's listening to me that if you do what suspect Edu Boahi did now, I will come after you. All right? I will come after you. I'm not going to wait, because I have the authority of Mr. President that if you engage in anything like what Mr. Edu Boahi has done, or any act of criminality, I will not wait. I will come after you. So this is a warning to everyone. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless our homeland, Ghana.
Joy 99.7 FM.
You're still listening to your superstation, Joy 99.7 FM. And we just heard the Minister of Justice and Attorney General, Dr. Dominic Ayene. Among some of the things that he said, he explained why Kwabena Edu Boahene, who is a former Director General of the Bureau of National Communications, will not be granted bail now. And he also said that the search that was done in some of the former government's officials' houses were done with search warrants, which he has copies, and he can show it to everyone who wants to see it. He states that they were legally done and cautions the minority leader, Alexander Afenyo-Makin, to desist from what he says is defaming those who conducted the search. He also says that there is option for a plea bargain for the former Director General of the Bureau of National Communications, Kwabena Edu Boahene, and also that his sentence will be reduced after they have paid everything that they took from the state account. He also sounds a